We're going to begin in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to begin in verse 11. It says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances, his statutes, which I am commanding you today." Again, just a warning from God. Again, remember why he wrote this is so that we wouldn't make the same mistakes. And he tells the people to beware. There's going to come a time in your life that you're going to forget me. When things go good, when we're being blessed. You know, it's just thanking God for all those things that he supposedly does for us. Do you know that Satan may be blessing you with worldly things? Whose domain is this? Satan's. Who has the power in this domain? Satan. God has allowed that. So those nice blessings that you thank God for may not be from God at all, especially if that blessing takes you out of church, takes you out of worship, and takes you out of fellowship. That job that you take that gives your family more money may actually be from Satan, not from God. See, if that job you take takes you away from your family, takes you out of fellowship with God, that's not from God. Anything from God leads to more worship and more fellowship with him. Okay? So be careful what you call and these blessings from God, because the world has got a misconception of what that is. But God warns us, beware that you do not forget. And how are you not going to forget? By reading his word. How often do you have to do that? Daily. And you pray without ceasing because you're meditating on what he's taught you that morning. And if you're not doing that, you're not walking with the Lord. Coming here on Sunday is not walking with the Lord. Coming on Wednesday, not walking with the Lord. Okay? Walking with the Lord is being obedient to his commandments and carrying out the things in our lives that he wants us to do. It's not based on the good works. It's based on the good character, which then produces the good works. Good works never produce good character. Okay? I'm going to give a practical example of this because that's what we need to do is practical example. We need to make it practical. Why do you buy a scale in your bathroom? And how come you never get on it? You know why you buy a scale? Is so you can keep track of your health and your weight. If you're not keeping track of your weight, you will become overweight. You can gain weight just like that. But what that does, if every day I step on that scale and I look at that, I can keep my weight at what I want it to weigh. So if I'm not reading God's word every day, I won't know where I'm at. And see, sin creeps in very slowly in our lives and deceives us. And all of a sudden we find ourselves in places that we never dreamed that we would be. You see, I'm afraid not to read the scripture every day because I'm afraid of what I might become or how I might be deceived. Because I don't know how many times God's word tells us, don't be deceived, don't be deceived. And again, he warns them, beware that you not forget the Lord your God. And the only way you're not going to forget him. Now, you can become spiritual and religious, but that's not what this is talking about. It's knowing God. It's knowing who he is and his righteousness and his holiness. And you are thirsting for that righteousness. You're thirsting for that holiness. He goes on to say in verse 12, otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Do you know how much of a big deal that was to God to bring his children out of slavery, out of Egypt? Do you know how many times it's written in the scriptures and how many times God reminds his people and us that he was Almighty God? Pharaoh, I raised you up for this purpose so that the world would know that I am God. That's a big deal. He keeps reminding these people that. because they keep forgetting who God was. But if our hearts become proud and we become comfortable, with our relationship with God is one of the most dangerous things that you can have. Where you start predicting how God's going to respond to you and your thoughts. We don't know as much about God as the world and the PhDs of this world in theology have told us. Matter of fact, they know very little about the truth of God and who God is. If they have PhD behind their name, be cautious, because they've been educated by man more than God in most instances. I won't say all of them, but most instances, most of those guys are very proud and arrogant, and they write what they think about God instead of what God writes about God. But when we become very satisfied in our life, we become very comfortable with where we're at, we look at other people, and we decide, oh, you know, I am better off than them. You know, I don't do the things that they do. It's not a, what you do doesn't send you to hell. Do you realize that what you do does not send you to hell? I don't know where that came from. It's who you are depends on whether you go to heaven or hell. It depends on who you are, whether you're with right with God or not right with God. You have to be born into that. You have to be born again. You have to have the nature of God now ruling in your life that allows you to step on that scale every morning and say, this is what I am. And allow God to reveal to you what you are. And we talked about in Sunday school, it's not just about the confession, is it? Confession means absolutely no good to confess and agree with the Holy Spirit what I am if that doesn't change. There's got to be a repentance in our life for the forgiveness of sin. That's all that's ever been written in Scripture from the time that John the Baptist came in the New Testament, because a lot of people say, well, that's the Old Testament stuff. No, the New Testament, John the Baptist came, he said, repent. Jesus came, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God at hand. When he sent out the disciples, he said, you know, go baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to repent. It's all about repentance, folks. It's all about the character. It's all about who we are. It's not about what you do. What you do does not change your character, but what your character is should change who you are. Don't become so comfortable with your relationship with God that you don't fear him anymore. We are to fear him for the whole time that we spend on eternity. Matter of fact, that's in Scripture. You can look that up if you don't believe me on that one. He goes on to say, your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with the fiery serpents and the scorpions and the thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock, out of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, and he might humble you, that he might humble you, that he might humble you, that he might humble you. And that you might, then he might test you to do good for you in the end. Okay? We have to be tested. We don't know who we are. You don't know your own heart. You think you do, and you listen to other people, and they'll tell you who you are, but God is the only one that knows you. God is the only one that knows your heart, and he reveals our heart to us. David said we don't know our own heart in Scripture. He's warning us that we are very proud people, and we are deceived because we think we know our own hearts, and we don't. And that's why he brings situations in our lives to test us. And if you don't preserve or persevere to the end, you will be lost. There are so many people that walk this road of religion, and life hits. And they're tested and they fail the test. Paul said, did you fail the test? The test is endurance. Regardless of the circumstances of your life, do you continue on in that journey of faith? Are you still strong, not on your own merits, but on the merits that the Holy Spirit lives within you and guides you, teaches you, directs you? See, the world doesn't know this. The world doesn't know the advantage that you have over them. And so far they make up religion so that they can feel good about who they are and proud in their heart. And thinking that, wow, all these blessings that I've got on this earth are from God, and they may be from Satan himself to destroy you. Because that's what Satan is out to do, is destroy us. He seeks about like a roaring lion to seek that he may devour someone. He's out to present himself as an angel of light to deceive you. And if you're not on that scale every morning, you will be deceived. And the thing about it, here's the hard thing about it, you don't know you're deceived. You're sitting there and you don't even know you're deceived because you're not in the Word of God every day. He says you must deny yourself daily. Well, you can't deny yourself daily without being in the Word of God because you don't know yourself. Again, I'll repeat that. You don't know who you are, and you have become so, this world has become so casual that everybody goes to heaven and not everybody goes to heaven. It's not about going to heaven. It's never been about going to heaven. It's never been about going to heaven. It will never be about going to heaven. This has never been about that. It's about being born again and become the righteousness of God. And I can back that up in Scripture. Heaven just is where God's at. That's what makes heaven heaven, not your relatives. We've got a misconception because we have forgotten to get on that scale every morning and find out who we are and find out who God is. He goes on to say that, and this is verse 16, in the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, and he might humble you, that he might test you and do good for you in the end. Otherwise you may say in your heart, my power and my strength of my hand made me this wealth. He writes the same thing about Jesus. It's a bigger deal about the promise coming true, and the promise has always been about Jesus coming and saving all of mankind. Don't forget where you came from. Paul says you were once born in iniquity. You're born dead in your trespasses of sin. You're born contrary to God, but yet while you were yet enemies of God, Christ Jesus died for you. Don't ever become so comfortable that you forget that. Because, and the reason I'm talking about this first is because you can't treat other people right and have the right expectation that God puts upon us and how we treat others without understanding where you first came from. See those arrogant religious people that hold those signs up about abortion or bashing gay rallies. They've never been saved because they're arrogant. They have forgotten or they've never known where God has delivered them from. Because the only thing that you can have is humility if you realize what you've been saved from. But see, because this is not taught in our Sunday schools, this is not taught in our churches of the modern world, people are gathering religion and thinking that that is the end point. That they feel good about themselves. They feel good about their works. But their character does not change. At a funeral the other day, a lady came up to me and she's talking. We got to talking and we used to know, go to church with them and a long time ago and stuff. And she talked about she'll cuss from time to time. But not all the time, but she just cusses from time to time. See, religion makes us comfortable. If I cuss, so I'll cuss, but God's going to correct me. That will not be my language. That will not be my normal language. You understand what I'm saying? Is that you may falter, but God does not allow you to continue to falter. He's going to convict you of that, and he's going to enlighten you of that. He's going to correct you of that. He doesn't allow you to stay where he found you. Do we understand that in this world of religion? Yes. Have you seen the commercials? About Jesus commercials. Now we have Jesus commercials. That we're just supposed to accept everything and everybody. It's only partially true. Yes, God accepts us where he finds us, but the rest of that commercial should say, thank you, God, you don't leave me where you found me. Except we're just supposed to accept everybody. God doesn't accept any of us in the state that we're in. Or he would have never had to send Jesus Christ so that we could have a new birth, so we could become a new creature and walk according to our calling. And all of that's in Scripture. We can't do this. What we talked about in Sunday school is God chose the nation of Israel to teach you and me that man has no ability to please God in the flesh. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot study it and get it. There is no truth that's ever come from studying anything and the Word of God. And I can back that up too. Look at your Pharisees and Sadducees. They studied the Word of God every single day. They were masters in the Scripture. And yet, Jesus stood in front of them and they did not know him because they had no truth. They became comfortable and prideful in their heart. And they would define God. If God has not revealed himself to you, you are not saved. You are lost. Wow, how can you be so blunt? Because that's what the Word of God is. It's blunt. It's not to be a joke. It's not to be fun. It's to be real. And if it's not real in our lives, we're going to suffer and perish the wrath of an almighty, holy God. Look at Psalms 40. Listen to what David said. Listen to what the psalmist says. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. So that means that just because you call on God, he doesn't answer right away. Sometimes he allows us to wallow in our self-pity and our circumstances. So he humbles us to the point that we can hear him. See, if he doesn't break your spirit, he doesn't humble you, you can't hear him. It's only through that humble heart that the word becomes receptive and means anything and amounts to anything. I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined to me. In other words, the way he says he inclined to me was that he didn't know he would be inclined to him. He was going to God in hope that God would hear him, knowing that God didn't have to hear him. See, the religious world puts these expectations on God that God said, you can't put expectations on me. You can't tell me how I'm going to affect your life, how I'm going to affect your life, how I'm going to bring you to salvation. See, what we've done in religion, we've defined a God that doesn't exist. And now we're worshiping an idol. We've made Jesus a religion instead of the way to relationship. He brought me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. How did David come to that conclusion? Because God revealed his heart to him. He set my feet upon a solid rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. If there's not fear, you can't be saved. Do you hear me? How do I know that? Because it says the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. So you can't know God without fearing God. And then it says, what do you do with that knowledge? Well, then you have to get wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. You see, it's all written in there. You got to read the whole thing. You can't read just bits and pieces and make a doctrine out of it. And that's why you have all these different denominations and religions and leading people to hell. Instead of the truth of God and us standing up and saying, this is what it says. We may not like it, but this is what God said. Man's not going to like what God says until he's humbled. You see, when God enlightened you, it's not depression. We talked about this in Sunday school too. Religion is what depresses you. And then you have to go out and do something good to feel good about yourself. That's how religion works. As long as I'm staying busy doing good things, then I feel good about who I am. See, the relationship reveals to me what I am. I accept that. God enlightens me. He doesn't leave me there and gives me the light of hope in my life and sets me upon the solid rock. I realize that it's not on my merits, but on his merits. And I based in the glory of Almighty God, and I can't wait to come and worship him on his holy day. I put on my best. I prepare for worship. See, if you haven't prepared for worship, that's as much as murdering somebody in God's eyes. Aborting a baby in God's eyes. Living that lifestyle that man has said is okay, and the churches are now coming along and said, okay, it's okay for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry. No, it's not. It will never be. And I don't say this to your shame. I say this to your deliverance. And if you don't get this, you will not be delivered. Look at Ephesians 2. Paul again once reminds us, it says, and this is beginning in verse 11, it says, therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. See, the reason circumcision didn't work, because it's only the partial removal of the flesh. The circumcision of the heart that the Bible talks about is total removal of the flesh. Remember, you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. See, that's where you're at. You're born in iniquity. You're born dead in your trespasses of sins. You're enemies of God. All that is backed up in Scripture. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off has now been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. There is no denominations. You're either a child of God or you're a child of devil. You either belong to the church of the holy living God and you're part of that body of Christ, or you're part of the body of Satan. You have no other options. You have been given no other option by God. That is the only option that we have. But he's reminding us, don't forget this. It's only by God's grace and mercy that we stand before the throne of God and come to him with thanksgiving in our heart. If you really, truly understand what God did for you, you would come in here differently to worship. See, it all goes back to worship. Your salvation is not about going to heaven. It's becoming the righteousness of God. And that, in that righteousness of God, the only way we can show that, it should show up in our worship. And how you worship shows where you're at in your stage, in your walk with God. If you just come in just haphazardly because it's what you do every Sunday. How many times did Paul ask, did you believe in vain? Are you true worshipers? Do you worship in spirit and truth? So unless you're born again, you can't worship God. The world cannot worship God. See, in the end times, it says that there's going to be a form of godliness. And we're living that out. There's going to be a form of godliness, but devoid of the Spirit. See, beware. Because we're living out that prophecy. We are in an age and time where our world is living that out. Ephesians 4. 11 to 24. So as he's writing to this particular church, who were a Jewish church, so I say and affirm together with the Lord that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk in their futility and their minds. You see, the Gentiles, we want things proven to us. We want signs. We want, you know, it's got to be, you know, we got to know. We think we're smart in our technological world. We think that we know it all, and we think we can solve all the problems in this world. Not going to happen. Because there's one great problem that this world has, and that's the heart of man, that there's nothing that man can do to fix it. Only God can fix it. But don't walk as a Gentile. He used us as an example, me and you. He said, don't walk like they walk in the futility of their mind. So many people have a relationship with Jesus Christ in their mind, and their heart has never been humbled. Their heart has never been changed, but they walk in this religious world doing all these good things for all these people they think is good, and they think God's up there just, oh, I'm so thankful that those are good people doing good things. Guess what? There's no good people. When Isaiah writes, my righteousness is filthy rags before you, O God. It says, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance. God just called you ignorant. If you're a Gentile, this loving God that you've created in this world just called you ignorant. How you feel about that? He just called you ignorant. They, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. Does that not define the world today? Huh? Does that not define the world? I mean, cussing has become a natural language of mankind. They're not even bothered by the words that they say. They're greedy. Probably get fired for this, but I work for a company that makes a lot of money. We got people that have to have second jobs so they can work there. That's immorally wrong. These big corporations that are taking over America and treating people like slaves. And yet, how many houses can you have? How many planes can you have? I got one little plane. Y'all gave it to me, and I cherish it every day. How much money do you need? When you got people working for you on the battle lines, and they have to get second jobs to make their ends meet. And what do? They just keep raising their prices. The worst thing that happened was when they raised the minimum wage and didn't put a cap on everybody being able to increase their prices, because they're keeping the same profit margins. Matter of fact, their profit margins are larger now than they've ever been. And we call that right? Well, that's greediness. God is describing us here. And the sad thing about it, a lot of these companies are owned by people that say they're Christians. Of course, you know I don't like the word Christian because God didn't call me a Christian. Remember that? But how often do we use that? I do not want to be lumped into the same group as Christians. I am a child of God because that's what God calls me. The world is what called us Christians. And the Christians today are nothing like the Christians that the scripture talks about. But if you did not learn Christ, but you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, who has to teach you? The only way to salvation is you have to be taught by God. Scripture is very plain on that. Those that are taught by God come to the saving knowledge of who he is. If you're taught by anybody else but God, you are lost. Some preachers that are on TV need to stand up and say this. Joel Osteen needs to tell his congregation that they're all dying and going to hell because it's not about prosperity. God did not, even that song said, you know, God promised me good. That song was written right. He wasn't talking about the goodness of this world. He was talking about the goodness of God, which leads to the salvation of man, which leads to glory. In verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness, holiness of the truth. It's about compassion. It's about love. It's about kindness and meekness and self-control. Does that sound familiar? Those are all fruits of the Spirit, which only blossom in the child of God. But see, to go on and read what we've been reading and learn what we've been learning on how we're to turn the other cheek and go the extra mile and not pay evil for evil, but rather to be wronged, to be mistreated for doing what's right. Do you know God likes that? Did you know that? That God likes it when you live a miserable life on this earth and you're treated wrongly for doing what's righteous? God likes that. Oh, see, gosh dang, we had to go too far, didn't we? Telling us stuff we don't want to hear. Let me get out another joke. That make y'all happy? That make everybody happy? I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about people that are going to probably listen to this, and I'll probably get letters on this sermon. But I don't care. Because I would rather you be bad at me and send me letters and question me. Please question me. Please test what I'm telling you. Because I do not want you to hear, depart from me. I never knew you. See, there's no reason for jokes. No reason to have a dog up here to have tricks. There's no reason for me to have to keep your attention. Because if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you're going to be attentive to his word. See, there's things that God tests us with. How excited are you to hear the word of God? How excited are you to come each Sunday to hear truth? And you may get so excited that you can start coming on Wednesday night. Wow, let's not give God any more time than what he requires, and that's 30 minutes. Okay, on his holy day, right? What'd y'all study in Sunday school? Did they say a quarter of the day they did this, they read this, and a quarter of the day they read that? Did they tell me that what it said? And I get 30 minutes, maybe. I don't think we hunger and thirst because we don't understand the state we're in. And we don't understand the state of this world. I always say it's bad, but I don't think we really have an appreciation for what's going on. unless you sit down with the holy word of God and with the right heart and the fear of him, you can't get that.